The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Wow. Hey, exactly 1 hour from now, Tiger is going to be on the first hole at Augusta National.
And you asked me if I'm excited, and I am.
You are excited about it.
Yeah, I want to see what he looks like. I'm cheering
playing
for Tiger
today,
Woods.
So I'm going to I'm taping it all. I'll go home tonight, watch the taped replay of it. It'll be just going to be fantastic. It's just going to be what a great, great weekend we're going to have watching the Masters. We got our cook off at the church, so we're going to have that. It's awesome. Going to make some meatball sliders for it, and I'm going to compete. And I'm going to tell you, my meatball sliders are going to win the slider competition. There's no question in my mind. Adam Silver went on to say, when asked about players sitting out, that this is becoming a trend of star players missing big chunks of games just sitting around, just collecting paychecks. And Adam Silver had this to say.
This is the funniest. Like, there's a couple sentences in here. I'm like, is this the real world that we live in now?
I'm not standing here saying I have a great solution. Part of the issue is injuries. One of the things we have focused on at the league office and we're spending, we had begun to spend a lot of time on pre-pandemic. Are there things we can do in terms of sharing information, resources around the league to improve best practices, rehabilitation?
Sure. Can they get rehabilitated, get back on the court quicker when they're injured?
The other way we can get
this
at
is,
it.
This is where it gets good.
In terms of player participation, is creating other incentives. The play-in tournament, I thought, was the beginning of creating renewed incentives for teams to remain competitive and be fighting for playoff position. It may be through in-season tournaments and changes in format where we can get at it.
Okay.
So
incentive. Go ahead.
$35 million a year isn't enough. $47 million a year isn't enough. We have to have other incentives
for player participation.
That's unbelievable.
He literally out loud said, well, what we're doing for is looking for other incentives for player participation. In other words, how can we get the players to participate in the sport they get paid to play?
Playing the games.
Incentives.
Do
you know why
this is a new term I've never heard in my life before.
Yeah.
Incentives for player participation.
Yeah.
It's my new favorite saying. I need an incentive for player participation opposed to a paycheck.
Listen, there are people out there who don't believe that this will have any impact on the sport. If your best players and even good players continue to miss games at a record rate, it is going to hurt your product. It's going to hurt with advertisers. It's going to hurt with sponsors. It eventually erodes the core of a fan base that says, you know what? I'm just not okay with this. I mean, I'm not okay with the guy not playing at all when I'm a season ticket holder or whatever the case may be, or even just a general fan who's not. But, John, the reason he mentioned the in-season tournament, you know, the talk is that players on the winning team will get $1 million each. So when he talks about incentivizing for player participation, it's how can we give the players more money? Then he says, well, maybe if you keep reading, he says, maybe it's making the fewer games. Maybe it's playing less games, taking less games off the schedule, which I would be fine with fewer games.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he said. I also have said in the past, we have too many games. That's something we should look at as well. If some, it's something as we sit down and we're looking at new media deals and looking at a new collective bargaining agreement, we will be studying. There wasn't any banging on the table or anything like that. For my discussion with players, they recognize it's an issue too. The style of the game has changed in terms of the impact on their bodies. I think we've got to constantly assess and look at marketplace.
But here's my question for you, though.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
This game is not any rougher than it was in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, it's a lot less rough.
It's less so because well, at least
it's
in
not
the
even
paint.
Close.
The game is not played the same in the paint.
I understand 162 games, but an 82-game schedule, this is the first I'm hearing of this, that the schedule's too long.
Well,
and we don't want any back-to-backs. Just got a text. 72-game schedule and no more back-to-backs. Problem solved. No, it's not solved. Because the players will still find a reason to not play.
Oh, you'll
because you're going to pay. What you've done is open up Pandora's box here. We'll pay you for not playing.
Yes. No, it's 100% been open.
Yes.
No, this is the concern. Over the last 2 years, so many Pandora's boxes have been opened in college and pro athletics now, and you don't go back from that. That's why that's the whole phrase of genie. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Once you have told players, we will pay you not to play, and Ben Simmons has created something new. Zion Williamson has something new. Frankly, it's not new. This is the second year. Now, there was an injury, obviously, to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, from a time frame standpoint, could have come back and played this year. But, you know, whatever. I don't really hold that against him. I do hold the other season where he decided not to play for the Spurs because he was mad at Greg Popovich. And that didn't, like, Deshaun Watson, his move. John Wall and the Rockets they did it together. This is becoming an epidemic, especially on the basketball side, where players are not getting back to the court, and then you already have load management. The league has already tried to help with back-to-back stuff and lighten the load there. Now, I'd be cool if they limited it to 70 or 72 games and then created an in-season tournament. I think that would be cool. The problem you have, I really do. I think the in-season tournament is something I've seen. It matters in soccer. I didn't get it when I first started following international soccer, and I get it more now. It's just something for you to play for. I think the play-in tournament stuff is good. Getting more teams involved keeps more fan bases engaged. But I also think if you have a team that has long gone out of the playoffs, then you're just dragging on playing the extra games. The concern you have is I get load management for guys like LeBron James. That's totally understandable. Or guys who have chronic pain issues. But I think that you are going to have guys who take advantage of the system who just, they don't really care that much about playing.
No.
And they're just going to keep sitting out games or taking off games and not playing. And that is a concern for the league. And I think the other thing you have to consider is because Adam Silver is trying to address this. What do you do? Like, what do you do if you're the NBA? And I'm not sure how you can. You're basically saying we're going to incentivize the players to participate more. In other words, we're going to find ways to see if the players will play more games. Like, well, more games that are on the schedule. We're not doing extra games. That is, to me, the most damning.
So
now, this shows. And I understand people having, like, you don't want it to, when the owners have too much control, they beat the baseball players down for years and years. And then when the baseball players had it, and I think football has had some of the same elements without question, CTE, et cetera. I think there's no question about it. However, there are such things as overcorrections in the market, and the NBA has definitely overcorrected because now you have the league like, hey, we're going to try to find ways to find more money to see if we can get the players to actually playing games that they're getting paid for. You cut the schedule down to 72 games. Let's say you've taken away five home games from an owner. You've taken 10 games away total, but five from a particular team. That's revenue that they can't make up, and you're still expecting the same paycheck. The owner better find a way to make up for his suite sales, the ticket sales,
well,
the parking,
and, well,
the concessions.
Will TV...
Because your BRI has gone down.
Well, and TV, are they going to pay as much if it's a 72-game schedule as opposed to an 82-game
schedule?
Right,
the salary will automatically go down for the basketball player because if it's tied to BRI.
Good luck with that.
Well, if it's tied to BRI, which is basketball-related income, your income goes down. And that's why the players would say, we don't want to play 82 games. Okay, let's cut it to 72. But if basketball-related income goes down, your salaries will go down by the same percentage because you get a percentage of the BRI. I mean, that's been in place for like over two decades. You get the BRI percentage, but our BRI, our basketball-related income, is down, so your salaries are going to come down, just like we saw happen with the NFL, right, with salaries during the salary cap year this past year. It's tied directly to football-related income. Well, now, let's see if the players still only want a 72-game schedule if they know their salaries are going to come down by an amount. If they do, good for them. Good for them for being part of the solution that, that requires them to play, I guess, fewer games. But if they want the same amount of money, then they will fight to say, you know what, let's keep it at 82 games because we can still get – and all the players – and listen, there's lots of players who grind it out. James Harden has been one of the grinders. Honestly, you can say whatever you want about James Harden. James Harden shows up and plays. This is the first year – well, it started when James pulled his stuff with Houston to get out. Okay, he did that so he can get out of Houston. And then he had a legitimate quad or hammy injury – that was keeping him out of some of the games with the Nets. That was legitimate. I think James started pulling some of the same stuff he pulled with Houston in New Jersey.
Yep.
Obviously. So now it's become like, is this going to be a thing for James when he's not happy? We'll see what happens with his contract in the offseason. But James has been a guy who comes to work every day. He may have his fun off the floor. Like, that's what we called you're the James Harden.
What?
That's how you became the James Harden of the show. No. You go and do your stuff, but you show up at work.
I show up every day.
You're the James Harden of
every
the show.
Day.
A, you see, you well, texted us like, how did I get called James Harden when
well,
I was gone?
Like
oh, well, see, that's how.
Well, yeah. No. I show up. I do my job.
Do you also do
well,
your
James
stuff off
didn't
the court?
Do his job a few times, though, here in Houston. He got fat and then said, I'm not doing it. Then he
have
went to the Nets and said, I'm not doing it no more.
Have you had, like, Elimination James shows where you thought, that probably wasn't my best effort?
Never.
never.
I give my best effort every day, day in, day out.
Do you remember?
I'm in a little war right here with someone you know. Oh, you two sit in a chair all day, okay? You two miss. Aren't you two missing the next two Fridays? Yeah, we don't have a six-month off season, okay?
No.
Yeah, we can't have a vacation day now?
No, Good Friday.
We're grinding every day.
I know. Who is it that's taking our vacation days off that says we can't have a vacation day?
Dell.
Somebody's working hard.
Yeah. So,
Dell the grinder.
What's it?
Dell the grinder's
hey,
upset.
Hey, Pot. Okay. Stop already.
I literally work two jobs and Dell's like, you guys are taking vacation days. First of all, it's Good Friday. I'm observing Good Friday. That's
flying.
Why I'm taking off.
You're flying.
Yeah. I happen to also be flying in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's. You know, one or the other, it didn't matter. One way or the other, I was going to observe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's Good Friday, and also, yeah, I'm flying to Boston. Whatever. It just so happens it's on the same day that I was going to take off anyway.
Right, but you're observing.
Because it's Good Friday.
Gotcha.
It's a company holiday.
I got you. Observing in mm-hmm. a plane.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to probably, yeah, you're going to get mad. You're going to get mass set in a plane. Get communion. I got it on Good Friday. Okay. 713-780-3776. Is the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780. And at the bottom of the hour, just in about 13 minutes, we got Adam Kaplan's going to join us. We'll take your calls on the other side here. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Bill Barnwell, we're going to work on getting Bill Barnwell on tomorrow. He's got an article, John, and you and I have mentioned this before, the domino effect. What's the domino effect that changed the future of the Houston Texans forever? There's one thing that happened that can trace the Houston Dwayne Brown being traded.
Yep.
Barnwell wrote an article, how a left tackle trade in 2017 led to the stunning Tyreek Hill trade. Here's the timeline of how the Texans might very well have been responsible for the trades of Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. And he And it's almost like one of Raheel's follow the money things. Or Charlie.
Wait a
minute.
Dwayne Brown from the Texans created Tyreek Hill and Devontae
Adams.
He's
written a whole article of how this happened and this. It's the butterfly effect. Yeah. This happened and then this happened. And because of that, this happened. And then, you know, Laremy Tunsil got traded. And then they had an extra draft pick. And he goes, you know, Charlie, you've seen it before. Charlie from the GIF before, I'm sure. Or the GIF about Charlie from... It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to figure things out and he's running a string between this person and that person. Yeah. Bill Barnwell does that, only how Dwayne Brown's trade set in course, set in motion.
Yep.
A course of actions that led to the trades. And he ties it all together. So it's an interesting read. We're going to work on getting Bill Barnwell on the show tomorrow to talk about that. Because you and I have talked about how it happened for Houston. The Dwayne Brown trade, had they just given him more money? Let's work through this thing. If they gave Dwayne Brown more guaranteed money, A, he still could play, number one.
Oh, my gosh.
They would have been better off. They wouldn't have done the Laremy Tunsil deal. The first-round picks would have stayed. He probably wouldn't have made the comments about the owner, which wouldn't have hurt the Texans. Texans, from a reputation standpoint, would not have been hurting. Would not have been hurt as much. The Dwayne Brown trade single-handedly altered the Texans in a lot of different ways.
Yep.
A lot. And what basically Bill Barnwell has done is taken that and he's extrapolated.
So dumb. They got rid of a left tackle that was good, that he, their own guy that they drafted could have been a lifer. And then they had to give up so much for Laremy Tunsil. It's just so dumb. So dumb. I mean, but not only that, who was sitting there? Williams, the left tackle from the Redskins that was out there.
Trent Williams.
Yeah, Trent Williams. And he's sitting out there. And instead of just signing him as a free agent, you give up all that.
They got way too cute. Like Julian Davenport, they thought they were going to get a fourth round, developmental player and turn him into a player. Honestly, I think that was the biggest Rick Smith tenure, the way they as an organization and Rick Smith bungled the left tackle spot, starting with, and you know, maybe that came from above. Maybe Bob McNair said they didn't want to pay Dwayne for whatever reason. I don't know why the owner would say that, because that was a player who was a very good player. Even if you thought he was on the downside, which I thought he was not the same player, you still could make the argument that maybe I'm altering history here, because I remember thinking he's not as good as he once was, but you didn't have a good plan of action in place. And once you saw what a struggle it was, you're right, John, you should have done whatever it took to get your hands on Trent Williams.
Everything.
Because you had Deshaun Watson. And because you had Deshaun Watson, you know, when he didn't show up, actually Dwayne Brown got traded the year Deshaun Watson was I don't think he was Dwayne Brown there for...
Yeah, he was there for the first four games.
That's right. He was there long enough to get traded.
Yep, yep.
He came back just so he could get traded.
Yep, yep, yep.
And you had Deshaun Watson, who you just traded. You traded an additional first-round pick for Deshaun Watson, and you're going to let your left tackle go with no real plan of action in place.
Done. Who's up here? AC wants to talk about our Rockets. We're going to do this quickly with a couple of calls, and then we get to Adam Kaplan. What do you say, AC?
Hey, fellas. I'm seeing a couple mock drafts with the Rockets taking the kid from Gonzaga, Chet.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think he's about 3 years away from being a contributor. He's really frail to me. I don't know. Is his ceiling like a Brandon Ingram or something like that? I just don't see it in him yet. What you guys think?
That's a good comp. I mean, body type-wise, and I think he is a faster contributor than people think, because the game is not played as much inside.
I think Smith and Boncaro are more NBA ready now.
Yeah,
body type wise.
I think Chet's game is a mature. I think he has a mature game though. And
what's your order of taking those guys?
For the Rockets, I'm to the point now where I would go Smith, Boncaro, Holmgren.
I am too.
I think I'm more on Boncaro. The more I watched him in the tournament.
He's big, he's just a
physical,
kid too.
Athletic. I think
he's
upside.
He's
going
to be a man.
He is an explosive. Anytime you get so Chet Holmgren is more skilled and more versatile, but Boncaro is explosive and big.
Yeah.
Like, he's an explosive athlete with size, and he's going to get more skilled. So, and he already has pretty good skills. I just know from my NFL draft stuff, if size and explosiveness always wins over skill, because skill can be learned. If there's already some skill there, you're going to get more skilled. It's why Trayvon Walker is going to be the first pick of the draft. Trayvon Walker is going to be the first pick of the draft. It's not going to be Aiden Hutchinson. You know why? Because Aiden Hutchinson feels topped out. He's fairly skilled. He's got shorter arms. You know what? A guy with long arms who's more explosive, and they feel like is going to become a more skilled player, is Trayvon Walker. The guy who you can coach, who's got explosive traits and athleticism, that guy always surges past the guy who maybe has more skill.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's how it works.
Yep.
And I think Chet Holmgren is probably, at least for the Rockets, I would think they might make him the third choice just based on. But Chet's skilled now. He can block shots. He can shoot from the perimeter. He's a good passer. There's a lot of good basketball he can play. And he ain't never going to be anything but a skinny player. His body type is skinny. So don't look for him to, like, it's not going to be a, what's his name, the center. It's not going to be a situation like, Rocket Center, who grew into his frame in Atlanta.
Capella.
Yeah, it's not a Clint Capella situation where, oh, you know what, he's a young guy, but he'll fill out his frame. He does not have a frame that fills out. He's lifetime skinny. The same way Kevin Durant is lifetime skinny, Brandon Ingram is lifetime skinny, this guy is lifetime skinny. And that's it.
All right, when we come back, Adam Kaplan joins us here on the other side on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I'm talking about McGrath Pest Control. They were just at the house last week, as a matter of fact. Hawaii came, and he did all of the spray for the bugs. And listen, we never see a bug. We got them coming every 3 or 4 months. I don't know what it is. I think it's every quarter that they come, or every 4 months, whatever the case may be. They come, and I never see a bug. I mean, it's just what happens when McGrath Pest Control is there. And if you ever do see a bug, now we had possums in the backyard at the old house, and Scott McGrath came and he caged them and he took them away. And I don't know what he did with them, but he took care of that business for him. I had a buddy who had a bat in the house, and they went through the entire house looking for a bat nest and found nothing. And the guy said, McGrath Pest Control said, I can't charge you because we didn't find anything. And he was like, wow, you guys just spent over an hour at my house looking for this. And you do that. That is just awesome, awesome, awesome. And that's the way McGrath Pest Control does business. I got the mosquito murdering system, and I'm going to have them come out once a year or so and just check it, make sure that everything is okay. But they are going to stay on top of that. It's what they do. If you're looking for a pest control company that's going to take care of you, all you got to do is go to McGrathPestControl.com. McGrathPestControl.com.
281-469-8240. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider with Sirius XM, Fox Sports Radio. He's a local guy, too, at Sports Radio 810. Joining us here. Been on the show before, good friends with Lance, and is back again with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Adam, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Gosh, it must be draft time. I'm back on with you. It's been, we go back way, I would think 8 to 10 years we've been chopping it up during draft time. So looking forward to it. The draft is 3 weeks from today. We got the Masters, Major League Baseball starting, NBA playoffs. A lot going on in the sports world.
Yeah, Adam's a big sports fan across the board, by the way. So. Yep. I told John, we had Sal Palantonio on earlier in the week, and I told John and Sal, I reminded him that you're the one that got me involved with Greg Cosell and that NFL Films mock draft that I don't know if you remember, but we did it the year that I remember we went around the room and everyone had a draft pick. I think it was 2013. We finished the first round of the mock draft, and nobody selected. That was the year EJ Manuel was the. EJ Manuel was the first quarterback taken, and everyone was blown away.
15th to the Bills.
I feel like it might have been earlier, but who's the quarterback who ended up with from West Virginia who didn't get? He was with Jeff Nally one minute, or Jeff Nally's agency. I think he was actually Eric Burkhardt's client. But your quarterback who went to Seattle,
Pat White. Are you talking about Pat White?
No, no, the quarterback who is in Seattle right now is the backup.
Geno Smith. Geno Smith. Yes.
My memory is just so terrible.
We went through
32 picks, and none of us had Geno Smith. And I'm like, oh, my God, Geno Smith just fell out of the first round. And guess what? That's the first time I remember thinking, you have all these people who are football minds in here, and no one took Geno Smith in a mock draft. And I realized, wow, is there a chance he could fall out of the first? Sure enough, Geno Smith fell out of the first.
Yeah, and listen, quarterback guys, the quarterbacks are going to go higher than you think. I've used the Mark Sanchez rule. Just when you say, oh, there's no way this guy will go in the top 10, he goes in the top 10. The quarterbacks always get pushed up. And by the way, with the Texans, the Davis Mills, if he didn't have a concern medically with one of his knees, this guy would have been probably late first, early second-round pick. But there was a major medical concern, I'm told, last year, and that's why he did not go in the first two rounds.
Yeah, and where would he be in this draft this year if he'd have waited and gone back to Stanford? Let's say he had a decent year.
You know, that's a good way to put it. Let's leave the knee issue to the side. Based on arm strength and talent, you could make a case he's right up there with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, boy, I don't know about you, Lance. I've gotten such a variety of opinions on him. It's just... he's not polarizing. I mean, people like the guy personally. It's just that very few people think he's like a great prospect. I hear a lot of good, not great. But this is the problem with his quarterback class. Yes, two or three of these guys will wind up being good quarterbacks at the next level. This always happens. Guys like Kirk Cousins go in the fourth round and they become quality starters. But when you look at this overall class of quarterback, there's just not that one guy that you have to have, and that's probably what the Panthers at number six are looking at now, who need a left tackle and a quarterback. They're probably looking at it, yes, we need a quarterback, but do we absolutely have to have Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, and that's the problem, is trying to place these quarterbacks in the draft. It's really, really difficult because the tape says Malik Willis is a second rounder, but he's going to go on the first. The tape says Kenny Pickett is probably more a mid to later round first rounder, but at some point quarterbacks aren't always pushed up. Like, you're not going to see quarterbacks not going to go 1-2. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance one quarterback could go inside the top 10, but I don't know that it's a lock. And I know my old buddy, Daniel Jeremiah, he still thinks no quarterbacks go inside the top 10 this year.
I wouldn't disagree. I've had Kenny Pickett since November as a mid first rounder. I don't think anything's changed there. The question now is, when you look at these quarterbacks, when are they going to be ready? You mentioned Malik Willis. I mean, I haven't talked to anyone who thinks he'll be ready in year one. You and I were down at the Senior Bowl. He definitely opened some eyes, but he's more of a down-the-line guy. I agree with your assessment. He will go in the first round because it's a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have one, you're going to get one.
Yeah.
But to me, if you draft Malik Willis, you just have to believe that he's going to sit year one.
Adam Kaplan with us here on ESPN 97.5, NFL Insider. Okay, going to have a better NFL career. Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, or Kayvon Thibodeau?
Huh. I'm going to say Hutchinson because there's a scouting term, clean prospect. If you just look at everything you're looking for in a pass rusher, he's pretty much got everything. Size. He doesn't have super long arms. You like them to be a little bit longer. But he's a professional. The scouting term, he's always looking for work. Really good prospect. It's a decent DN group this year, but they're not any elite guys. There are a lot of good ones. The Walker kid's really intriguing because he's a multi-positional player. But I do believe Hutchinson is the guy that will have the best career. And I'd be shocked if he gets past two, and obviously he's a major play at number one.
My goodness, if he fell to the Texans. But he ain't getting past Detroit, right?
I know. You can't. Yeah, and Detroit, by the way, their defensive talent is so weak that they need major help there.
Yeah. Rank your corners because the Texans are in dire yeah. need. Somebody that's going to be there at 13 for them.
Well, here's the problem. If you want the elite corners, Gardner's clearly the best corner for this draft. It would not shock me at all if he goes top five. I understand historically corners don't go that high, but I'm going to use the term clean prospect. He's about as clean as it gets in this draft. Does everything well, size, speed, athleticism, toughness, intelligence, coachability. He's got it all. Stingley, he's got the one major year of production, but then you've got the major injury history. Then it drops off. It's Gardner's the top guy. Next guy, Stingley. Then you've got Booth, who's a mid-first rounder. Then you've got a lot of good guys. To me, Andrew Booth from Clemson would be that guy right around 13, I think. I don't know about what Lance thinks, but I do believe that's a guy that would make sense for them. And you know, not only that, when you look at the Texans situation, they need so much help. There's no question. They need DNs. I mean, Grenard was a great story, no question about it, but they need more pass rushers. They need corners in the worst way. There's no doubt about it. With the change in safety there, they probably could look at safety, but corner, I agree with you. DN, they need pass rush help. Offensively, they need receivers, though. I really like Nico Collins. I'm hoping he has a breakout season, but they need help there. And then, not that they need to have, well, they need another running back. They have plenty of good backups, but they don't have a lead back. They also need to add a running back who they think could be a big time first and second down guy.
Adam, all you have to do is say the Texans need everything.
Yeah,
yes.
Because once you get going,
I call them an expansion team last year.
You know, once you get going,
roster last year. I mean, they earned their record. But look, the good thing is the Texans have 11 draft picks. I like that they got two firsts, the second, the two thirds. So Nick Caserio and his group—they've got a lot of work to do, but they could get things moving in a major positive way if they draft well with these picks.
There's no question. It really could. It could get better quickly, but you have to hit, and you have to hit a home run. And I'm really curious to see if he starts to do what they did in New England, which is, you know what, we're going to move a pick or two backwards, and we're going to keep adding draft capital for future sure. years. I'm really curious to see what this year. Last year, he had no first. He had no second. I thought Nick, you know, panicked on a couple of the moves that he made in terms of trading picks to move up for a backup linebacker and for Nico Collins. I thought he could have sat still. But I am curious to see how he handles a draft where he's got more than enough draft capital now. I really am interested to see what Nick Caserio does. I'm not just interested. I'm excited to see what he does. So Texans clearly in a better place headed into this year's draft than last year's, no question.
Look, after what Bill O'Brien did to trade away all those future picks and kind of what happened there, then Caserio, look, they've got 3-13 in the first round. Three picks in the first 37. Now, one nugget I'll give you. So, and I this is really important to understand. Lance, you know this as a draft guy. Typically, if you talk to general managers and personnel directors, they'll tell you, remember Bill Polian telling me this, they're typically real first-round grades, 12 to 15 players. The rest of our guys, if you'd rather have seen the second round than the first round, and it just so happens that the Texans' second first-round pick is at 13, That's the one they got from the Browns at 13 in the Watson trade. So just understand that they're at the bottom end of the good first round picks. After that, if you're picking like 15 through 32, that's when you start hearing teams want to trade down, not up. And then of course we had the big trade this week, the Eagles and Saints trade, where the Saints wanted that second first round pick, and the Eagles had three first rounders. My understanding is they were looking to move one of them, and they did. And the Eagles' first pick in the first round is at 15, so we could see Howie Rosen and the Eagles' GM trade again. Who knows? But look, understand, I think Nick has positioned himself really well to start getting things moving here. And one other thing, Belichick historically, and you're right, they trade down, not up. They like acquiring picks for the future. So I agree with you. With 11 picks here, why not package some of them to maybe get picks for next year?
Absolutely. Hey, before we let you go, any thoughts on Bruce Arians? And here's his quote: "I get credit, and Brady gets way too much credit for what Byron does with our offense." Are we going to be hearing Bruce over these next few years taking some shots at Tom Brady?
Well, what I find interesting is that somehow, and I don't know, I still don't quite understand what its front office role is going to be, but it's clearly going to be around the football team. Now, Brady will get more control of the offense with Bruce Arians not involved anymore. He can't be because he's not a coach anymore. He just can't. So that it's now the Brady show for sure with Byron Leftwich. It's Brady will get a little bit, well, not a little bit, a lot more of what he wants to do. But in the end, it's the Brady show. They're going to run it back. They brought out all the 22 starters back last year, not as many this year, though it's close. They're going to run it back. I mean, they're going to be right there making a Super Bowl run. The Rams will be very good. They're also running it back. That NFC, folks, it's the Bucs, the Rams. But after that, I think it's kind of wide open. And then in the AFC, how about the AFC West? Quarterback division.
Oh my God! Unbelievable! That's an incredible story.
And Carr's going to move up the board with Adams now.
Yeah. No. And Derek Carr, from a value standpoint, the Raiders are going to have to decide how much are we going to end up paying Derek Carr in the future.
Right.
I mean, that's another storyline where you're taking kind of average, okay quarterbacks, and now you're throwing wide receiver ones with them. And then the great quarterbacks now are losing their top wide receivers because, A, they take up such a huge chunk of the salary cap. But also, I think teams realize, this guy's so good, we can draft wide receivers.
Is there any chance that Carr has the best season out of all of them because Mahomes lost Tyreek?
I think it's possible.
I think that is possible,
I think
too.
It's possible. And Mahomes wasn't great for a stretch last year.
And Herbert's going to be good, we know that. But I think Carr could possibly have – what do you think, Adam?
Well, John, here's the thing. Adams and Carr are very close friends. They played together at Fresno State. This is the team, as I understand it, that Davante Adams targeted himself to go to. I talked to his agent, Frank Bauer, at the owners' meetings. I mean, this is Devontae really wanted to go to the Raiders. And you've got Hunter Renfrow is a good slot. They have a running game. The offensive line's not great. Darren Waller was hurt last season. He's back healthy. Yeah, this could be his best year. And remember, Josh McDaniels is one of the better offensive minds in the National Football League, and he coaches quarterbacks hard. Yeah, I like the marriage between McDaniels and Derek Carr, no doubt about it. And they should get things going here. They spent a lot of money in free agency. They obviously are paying Adams a ton of money. They should be better than last year. And somehow, by a miracle, they made the playoffs. I still cannot believe they made it.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's Adam Kaplan right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great to have you back on again, Adam. We got to do it again soon.
We'd love it, guys. Thank you.
There's Adam Kaplan right here.
Thanks, Adam.
97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. But first, what about sidings and windows?
Allstate Windows and Siding. They do them both. They do windows. They do siding. Allstate is a company who I've used in the past for both of my windows and siding work. And the thing that I like most about them is I had an older home that was built in the early 60s. I had original windows. Man, when you get rid of those aluminum windows and you get windows that are made in Texas, Allstate windows are made in Texas. They're designed to stand up to the wind, the heat, the rain, the cool air, humidity. I don't care what it is that we're talking about. These windows are built and designed for that. They are amazing at keeping the noise level down. They make the house more energy efficient. You don't see the leaky windows that let dust in the home as much. It's just overall beautifies your home as well. Call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. You can get a 25% discount off your windows and 0% finance rate. No interest at all on your 36 months. For 36 months, when you mention ESPN and 97.5, family run for over four generations with military, senior citizen, and cash discounts available. For the best rate, call Allstate Windows and Siding. That's AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Can you hack an entire city, Lance?
Yeah.
You can.
Well, yeah, if everything's on a mainframe of some sort.
Apparently, in Dallas was hacked on April 1st. Jared Guinness, G-U-I-N-E-S-S, said he used the next generation technology with 300 drones to create a giant glowing QR code in the sky.
What?
You know, yeah, he created in Dallas, he created a giant QR code in the sky, and people put their phones up. And you know how you take the picture of the QR code and your menu for your restaurant comes up or whatever comes up? Here is what came up.
I saw this story yesterday. I didn't know that's what this one was. Yeah, play the whole Rick roll. You know when Raheel was getting us with this stuff?
Oh, every, all the time.
Nonstop.
This or which is
picture
worse?
Of him in red shorts.
Which is worse? Raheel in his red shorts, this, or the dude with the sitting on the bed with the, what's his name?
Sitting on the, oh, no, Wood is the worst.
Wood.
Wood's the worst.
Wood's the worst.
There's nothing worse than that. What do you mean, what's the worst?
Well, Raheel is bad.
That was bad. He's in short red shorts. What was Wood wearing?
This, well, Wood you can't take out of your mind.
Yeah.
But this you can't get out of your head either.
Wood was the worst Rick roll of the pandemic.
That was the pandemic Wood roll, is what that was. And it's, to this day, it pops up randomly. Somebody like, hey, man, oh, great. Looks like we got a tornado warning. Make sure you guys follow these instructions. Right. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh man.
I don't see it coming. Like, Russia just. Now, this one legitimately scares me about Putin.
No. We're going to the World Series. And we're on a flight, and somebody said, oh, Carlos Correa is hurt. Here's the story. Boom, and it's Wood.
Yeah.
And Yanni, I think it happened to Yanni. And Yanni is sitting next to this guy and a girl, and they look. And he goes, boy, they didn't look at me the rest of the flight. We're done.
I'm not looking. My friend said it to me. It was it's a prank.
I don't like that guy.
I don't care. I don't care. I just don't want to talk
dessert
to you, sir.
To you.
Have you ever had Yanni some of my Greek wings? I don't want to talk about your Greek wings,
the
sir.
Lot is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, everybody.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.